Welcome, and thank you for listening to Optics in Action, where we showcase leaders with vision and clarity. My name is Ryan Weiss, founder and CEO of EPS. Our team is focused on enabling companies to align people and process for increased revenue, profitability, and scalable growth, while reducing the frustrations of your employees and customers. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. Let's get to our next guest. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Optics in Action. And today I'm excited to have a special guest, James Knoll. He is the founder of Mogul Realty Group. And I'm excited to have you on the podcast today to talk about why you do what you do, how you do it, what you do, all of those types of things for our audience. So welcome, James. We're excited to have you.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Ryan. I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about yourself and about Mogul. Where are you located at and why do you do what you do? Why are you excited about realty and all the stuff that you do?
We're located in Western Canada. Our headquarters is in the province of Alberta in the capital city, Edmonton. And then we have a secondary office in Vancouver, British Columbia. We just focus on helping investor clients invest in Western Canadian real estate. We've been in business for over 20 years. And my journey actually started as an investor myself. So I was flipping houses and then I started holding on to some of those houses. And slowly and surely, I added more properties to my portfolio. I just loved it so much, I decided I should be a realtor too. And now I have two businesses that keep me pretty busy. One of those businesses is as a property owner. And one of those businesses is owning a team that has a number of realtors who service Western Canadians.
Very cool. So I was only in Vancouver one time. It was for a business meeting. I was there when in game 7 of the Stanley Cup was taking place, and I was staying at the Hampton Inn overlooking Rogers Arena, and there was riots and chaos that broke out after the team lost. So I don't have I have very interesting experiences of and pictures of downtown Vancouver after that experience and the riots that happened and stuff like that. So definitely some interesting times there in Vancouver. Well, awesome. So tell me a little bit about, my audience always like to know, why do you do what you do? Why did you get involved in this?
The reason I started investing in real estate was a great piece of advice from my dad. You know, he said, if you're going to be renting a house with your buddies or putting together a place with roommates, he said, if you can swing it, why not just own the house? There's a lot of financial benefit to being the owner of the house. And then rent out the rooms to your buddies. And I said, yeah, I think I could pull that off. And so that's really how I got into it. And it just really fascinated me, all of the intricate moving parts of the financing, analyzing the property, sourcing the property, negotiating the deal, and then the ongoing management. There's a lot of layers to the business, which make it a very fascinating and engaging place to be. And then as I got deeper into it, I realized that it's a market. Markets shift, they ebb, they flow. And so there's so much that changes even in a 12-month period that it really pushes you to keep current, to keep educated, to stay on top of trends and stay on top of how technology is constantly changing to impact the industry. It's the perfect place for someone that is a lifelong learner and someone that likes taking complex problems and finding solutions. So it was just a great fit, and I've done all kinds of cool stuff in the industry all over Western Canada.
Yeah, I'm sure you've met some interesting people along the way as well. Have you sort of created a process, or is there a process that you typically use? We always like to talk about people and process on this podcast. Is there a 7-step process or a 5, or is there any process that you typically use to go through, investigating or acquiring a property, managing it, flipping it? What, is there some type of process that you typically use
Yeah. I'm an incredibly process-driven guy. I find there's a lot of simplicity that comes in a well-defined process, and it really makes it a lot easier to provide great service when you can identify where in a journey a client is. So our sales process as realtors, we break it up into five steps. The first step is meeting someone, getting their contact information. The second step is getting in connection and contact with that person to schedule a meeting. The third step is the consultation. The consultation has its own sub process on how to provide an excellent consultation and advisory to a client. The fourth step of the process is the property search. And then the final step is negotiating and concluding the offer. Once we have a concluded offer, the transaction process actually has a four-step process as well. Step one is writing the offer. Step two is waiving the conditions. Step three is the time that occurs between condition waiver and closing. And then step four, there's some post-closing servicing that we always do for our clients as well. So it sounds like a lot of steps, but that's real estate. There's a lot to do from the moment a realtor meets someone and shakes their hand for the first time to handing that person the keys and making sure they're happy with the property. So we've got a very process-driven business that has well-defined processes, checklists for each step along the way, and triggering events that get you from one phase of the process to the next. I really love that stuff, and it makes it so easy to chat with someone for 5 minutes, understand where they're at, and then know what action steps are necessary at that point in time to help them along the journey.
Yeah. You've got to have well-defined processes to be able to scale beyond just yourself, right? It's one thing to be an individual contributor, if you will, that goes out and does the thing that you do, selling real estate or managing properties. But being able to scale that and create a system that enables you to scale beyond yourself really requires these well-defined processes. So I always love hearing about people's processes and the key steps that are happening. What challenges do you find you have with people? You have a well-defined process, but what I often find is people don't always follow the process, and people don't always make it easy to follow the process. And, you know, not everybody interacts well with the process. What are some of the people challenges you find as you're going through this journey with investors or clients or employees or things like that?
Well, we're in the business of, you know, not only servicing our clients, but helping realtors become excellent at the business of being a professional real estate agent. And the process is complex. There's a lot of steps. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to know. And that isn't taught in real estate school. The course that you go through to become a realtor is a compliance course, not a marketing, sales, and service delivery course. So that gets learned usually after someone is actually a licensed realtor. So, you know, one of the challenges is just teaching people how to do it. That information doesn't get absorbed in a weekend seminar, and it's often learned knowledge where you can intellectually read the flowchart, understand the steps, but when you're facing with a client and the pressure is there to do a really good job, and maybe as a new agent, you're a little anxious or a little nervous about impressing and not making a mistake. Well, that's the time that it's easy to forget a step, miss a checkbox, get a little bit excited and rush things, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, one of the biggest challenges in being a realtor is that it takes time. I've never really seen a realtor be amazing at being a realtor the first one or two clients that they've had. It takes time to learn. And often the biggest challenge is that a lot of people are impatient, because oftentimes people go from a job with a steady paycheck to being a realtor, which is 100% commission-based. And so one of the toughest challenges that we help coach our team through is the impatience between getting started and actually their first business happening, because I think a lot of people expect it to happen faster than it realistically does, given the way that, you know, people have a long sales cycle. Yeah. People don't walk into, you know, it's not like Best Buy where people walk in with the intention to buy a TV,
buy a computer or something, right?
Yeah. And then they walk out with the computer. You know, people start clicking around on MLS, on realtor.ca. They start shopping. They start thinking. They start making decisions 6, 12, 18, 24 months out from actually buying a house. And that length of time means that as a brand new realtor, you could talk to 100 people, but they might not be ready for 6 months. And so it just takes time. And that patience is one of the toughest parts of the industry for a lot of people.
Yeah. No, I can imagine that. And so you said you deal primarily with investors. Is that is that your primary audience or primary sort of clients that you work with, or
Yeah, I'd say that makes up about 50% of our client list would be investors. We pride ourselves in providing really great service. So often we start a relationship with someone as an investor, and then, hey, by the way, they've got a home. They're thinking about upsizing, downsizing, moving, finding a new neighborhood, et cetera. So we often start client journeys with investors and then grow the client journey into servicing all of their real estate needs. And again, to the credit of all of the great realtors on my team, we earn a lot of repeat and referrals. So what might start as an investor wanting to buy an income property grows into helping their friend from work and their child and their cousin, and they're moving and their parents are downsizing, and we just build wonderful relationships with our clients over the years of working with them.
It makes a ton of sense. I think the referrals, getting referrals from well-satisfied clients is by far one of the best ways that I've seen to grow a business. There's lots of marketing we can do, but getting referrals and people who like what we do to refer us to other people is often one of the biggest things. But that takes time, right? That's the, as you referred to earlier, it's not something you're not going to close your first referral deal in 3 months or something. You got to build credibility and integrity and a network. So awesome. What do you see as the biggest challenges for realtors and real estate in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think one of the things people entering the industry need to be mindful of is we're going through a really rapid growth period in terms of technology that can help us as realtors do a good job. I think the last real major technological leap forward that happened was when CRMs started to have automation. That's not AI, but it is automation, just in terms of processes, workflows, communication, mass communication, et cetera, et cetera. Realtors who didn't utilize that technology were just not as able to service as many clients because they weren't leveraging a tool that made their job easier. AI is going to be doing the same thing. I mean, AI is great because it takes something that used to take an hour and allows us to do it in 5 minutes. It takes something that, used to take a lot of creativity, mental bandwidth, brainstorming time, reflecting time, and a couple of quick prompts and inputs, and all of your brainstorming is done. And then it's almost like you pick off a menu of creative ideas for what you're going to do. So the realtors that are going to start using AI, again, they're going to be able to provide a much higher level of service with less of a time commitment and time invested because they're going to be way more efficient. The realtors that don't adopt AI technology will be limited in the amount of output that they can have because, something I'm doing in 5 minutes might take a realtor who hasn't started using the technology 2 hours to do.
So I'm seeing a lot of early adoption of AI in the marketing process of a lot of organizations across industries, creating marketing ideas or marketing content, things like that. But I think it's also potentially incredibly beneficial operationally in some of those steps that kind of go further down the road from the starting point. How do you envision, or do you have any ideas of like how AI might support or improve the realty or the realtor process if you kind of go beyond that initial marketing and client acquisition, things like that?
Yeah.
I'm always intrigued about the operational part of where AI can enhance operations.
That's a fantastic question. I think marketing is the low-hanging fruit because that takes the creative work and a lot of the think work out of the equation, which again speeds up that part of the process. But operationally, a couple of use cases that I can cite would be number one, financial modeling. When we're doing complex analysis of properties, of construction projects, of flips, we used ChatGPT to help us bug find a formula that was broken. And we, I would have been on a wild goose chase for, maybe an hour trying to figure out what was not playing right in the spreadsheet. And ChatGPT just sussed it out and gave me the right formula right away. So that's, and we've got a lot of spreadsheets on our back end that manage a lot of what happens in our business. And we've enhanced those spreadsheets because, there's certain features that, you always think to yourself, it'd be really cool if my spreadsheet could do this, or if I could extract this data or this trend, for this high level analysis summary from the spreadsheet, but that would take a lot of programming and coding. Where now we just hey ChatGPT, how do I make a spreadsheet do this? And it tells us. And so our ability to interpret trends that relates back to things like ad spend. We had a very sophisticated analysis of our closed business from 2020 to 2023, and made some very serious decisions based on some of the insights that we were able to gather by using analysis models that ChatGPT helped us build. So that's a pretty practical use case of from a process perspective. We all, in our business, we all have those to-dos that are just on that back burner that are bubbling away, where they probably should get done eventually, but boy, that task is going to be a pain in the butt, time-consuming, and generally kind of thankless. And one of those tasks for us was our master service agreement with the realtors on our team. It was about 4 years out of date. Some of the legalese was a little bit sloppy. And my intention at the start of 2023 was to spend a chunk of my Christmas break editing that document. And that I was budgeting about 8 to 10 hours for that task, and I got through it in about one. Just again, talking with ChatGPT about making sure the verbiage was doing what it was supposed to in a legal contract. It was awesome.
I think ChatGPT does have a really incredibly good functionality around the legalese of contract writing, which has been like that's something I've explored and used as well. I and look, attorneys have attorneys, realtors, like everybody has a purpose and a reason and things that they're good at, core principles and elements of what makes them successful. But there's also these tasks like creating legal documents and contracts and subcontractor agreements and stuff that ChatGPT seems to do an exceptional job at that. So that's yeah, those are some great use cases. Thanks for sharing those.
Yeah, and I will say still requires me to give it a look over. At the end of the day, it's my signature on the dotted line. But instead of writing up lines and lines and lines of content from scratch, it writes it up for me. And I'll tell you, I can review and make a handful of edits a heck of a lot faster than I can write something from scratch.
Indeed, absolutely. So what's next for you? How do you see your business continuing to grow and evolve? Is it bringing on more realtors? Are you what does the future look like for you and Mogul Realty Group?
Yeah, we've got a growth goal this year to add 4 agents per quarter each quarter for 2024. So that's going to be our growth trajectory, what we're working towards, how we're advertising, hiring, interviewing. And so far, so good for Q1. We're on pace for that. We're looking to get a little bit more serious about doing project marketing, so selling large condo development projects. We've got one that we're in negotiation with the developer to represent. So it's looking very positive that we'll have the opportunity to sell that project. And if we do sell that project, it's in a city that we currently don't have an office in. So that would be the stepping stone into opening an office and starting business operations in that city here in Western Canada.
Yeah. What do you see as the biggest challenges to your growth objectives and getting where you want to go over the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, one of the growth objectives is always held back by just the right people. I'm very, very fortunate that I'm surrounded with an amazing team, and I usually hire quite well. And so there's one of the bottlenecks that we're experiencing right now is that my focus towards visioning and growing the company is divided between that and a bunch of operational functions that I currently have to perform as the leader of the organization. And so knowing that that's a bottleneck, one of our first half of the year goals is to hire a general manager to take over a bundle of responsibilities that currently takes about 20 to 25 hours per week for me to do an okay job at. So if we hire a talented individual and give them 40 hours a week to do that bundle of tasks, they're going to do them very, very well. And that's going to open up my bandwidth to dedicate to some of these growth initiatives.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, building a great team and having consistent processes that that you can execute on and training program. It sounds like you're building a really, really great foundation for the future of your business. If investors or potential realtors were interested in joining your group or learning more, getting to know you, connecting, what would be the best way for them to reach out to you and connect?
Well, I'm a millennial, so of course I love my email. Email me at james@moglrg.com. That's james@moglrg.com. Either for learning about investment opportunities in Western Canada or potentially about partnering and working with our team. For Canadian investors right now, Alberta and Edmonton are one of the hottest growth markets in the country, and so we're getting a lot of Canada-wide attention towards income properties in that marketplace. So if you want to ride that wave and be part of the excitement of this market really getting a lot of energy right now, then feel free to reach out because we'd love to chat with you about why this market's hot.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, James Knoll, for being on this episode of Optics in Action, and really appreciate the insights that you shared and the time that you spent with our audience to talk about realty and Western Canada and the opportunities that are there and the process that you're using to help people get into that market. So thanks again for being on this episode.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. It's been a pleasure, and I really enjoyed our chat today.
Thank you for listening to the Optics in Action podcast. If you are interested in the podcast, we welcome you to subscribe on your preferred platform, follow us on LinkedIn, or learn more at epsoptics.com. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. This is Ryan Weiss, thanking you for listening to Optics in Action.